Understanding and using contracts and related addenda are integral to being a licensed real estate agent. License holders are expected to be knowledgeable in their field. One of an agent's most important functions is advising and guiding their clients through the proper and legal completion of the forms required to facilitate a real estate transaction. Valid, void, unenforceable, voidable contracts. Contracts may be valid, void, voidable, or unenforceable. A valid contract meets all of the requirements of law. A void contract is invalid from the beginning and does not affect the parties. A contract to perform an illegal act is a void contract. A voidable contract cannot be enforced against one or more of the parties. Most contracts entered into with minors are voidable at the option of the minor. An unenforceable contract cannot be enforced due to some flaw in the contract, the passage of time, or other issues that make enforcement impossible. Of course, we prefer to negotiate valid, enforceable contracts in the real estate business. Elements of a valid and enforceable contract. 5 essential elements must exist for a contract to be considered valid and enforceable. They are competent parties, offer and acceptance, mutual consent, legal purpose, in writing, when required by law, consideration, competent parties. The general rule of law is that all parties to a contract have read it and understand it. This rule holds true even if they are illiterate or not knowledgeable in the subject of the contract. Certain persons do not have full contractual capacity, including minors, individuals who have had guardians appointed, and those under the influence of drugs or alcohol. In order to be valid, contracts must be entered into by competent parties. An individual under the age of 18 is considered a minor. Contracts executed by minors are generally voidable at the option of the minor, but may be enforced by the minor against the adult party. Therefore, anyone who contracts with a minor does so with the possibility that the minor may choose to void the contract. Assuming they took no action to void the agreement, the contract generally becomes valid and binding when the contract closes or when the minor reaches legal age. Contracts with a person who lacks mental capacity can be either void or voidable. If the person has been judged to be incompetent, the contract is void because the person never had the capacity to enter into the contract. When the courts have determined that an individual is incompetent, a guardian will be appointed to handle that individual's affairs. When such a judgment has not been made, however, and the contracting party is attempting to prove insanity, mental infirmity, senility, or mental retardation, the contract could become voidable at the option of the infirmed party, the individual's agent or guardian. A person who enters into a contract under the influence of drugs or alcohol could be considered mentally impaired. In most cases, a person seeking to void a contract on such a basis must show that the other contracting party used the drugs or alcohol as an inducement to sign. It would seem that providing clients with alcohol before writing a contract could be a risky marketing strategy. Offer and acceptance, mutual consent. A valid contract must be based upon the consent of the parties. The contract must, therefore, reflect the intent and wishes of the parties. Mutual consent is often referred to as a meeting of the minds. For a contract to exist, there must have been a meeting of the minds, offer and acceptance, between the parties. The determination of mutual consent is usually a question of fact and is completed by the process of offer and acceptance. Circumstances sometimes arise that result in a failure to have a meeting of the minds or mutual consent. Consider the buyer who is about to be defrauded by a seller attempting to sell a property he does not own. The buyer's intent is to purchase real estate, and the seller's intent is fraud. In such a case, there never was a meeting of the minds, and the contract is void. Another example of a failure to have mutual consent could come from a mutual mistake. If the seller and buyer negotiate a sale, and it is discovered that they were talking about different tracts of land, there is no meeting of the minds due to the mutual mistake. Note that the mistake must be mutual between the buyer and seller. For example, a buyer cannot terminate a contract on the grounds that he or she really made a mistake in signing it in the first place. As mentioned earlier, mutual consent is completed through the process of offer and acceptance. Legal purpose. A contract for an illegal purpose is void, and the law treats the contract as if it were never created. An example of a void contract would be one to have somebody killed or to deliver illegal drugs. All contracts must have a legal purpose to be valid. In writing. In order to comply with the statute of frauds, contracts for the conveyance of an interest in real estate or leases for a term of more than 1 year must be in writing. Consideration. Consideration is defined as the exchange of promises. It is the seller's promise to sell and the buyer's promise to pay. Consideration does not have to be monetary. Consideration in a contract could be nothing more than a promise made by one party in exchange for a promise made by the other. In the typical real estate contract, the seller agrees to convey the property to the buyer, and the buyer agrees to pay the negotiated sales price. We say that the purchase or sales price of the property is the consideration for the contract. However, the exchange of promises, particularly the buyer's promise to pay, is the consideration. As a rule, an earnest money deposit will be collected from the buyer when entering into a contract. The earnest money should not be confused with consideration. Earnest money is not one of the requirements of a valid contract. Executory contracts and sales contract default remedies. Once the parties have agreed to all of an offer's terms, signed the contract, and communicated the acceptance to the offeror, the contract becomes binding on the parties. The contract is known as an executory contract from the effective date through the closing. An executory contract is a contract that is binding on the parties, with one or more of the parties having contractual duties that have not yet been performed. The effective date is the date that acceptance was communicated to the offering party. For example, if a seller accepted an offer from the buyer on Monday, January 3rd, and the buyer was notified of the seller's acceptance on Tuesday, January 4th, the effective date of the contract is January 4th. All oral negotiations are voluntary and do not become binding until written. From the effective date to closing, a contract is an executory contract. Both the seller and the buyer have duties that they must perform during this period. For example, the seller must allow the buyer access to the property for inspections. The buyer must make reasonable efforts to obtain financing and appear ready to pay and close on the closing date. When the sale is closed, the contract has been fully executed. Bilateral and unilateral contracts. Both parties are obligated to perform in a bilateral contract. A contract of sale between a buyer and seller is a bilateral contract because both parties have made promises. Therefore, both parties have duties to perform. The seller's primary responsibility is to show up at closing and sign a deed conveying ownership to the buyer. The buyer's primary duty is to show up at closing and pay the agreed consideration, sales price. In some contracts, only one party must perform. An option is an agreement between a buyer and seller or landlord and tenant. In exchange for some form of consideration, an option fee, a seller gives the buyer the right to purchase the property at some preset price and terms for a period of time. If a buyer has a one-year option to purchase a tract of land at $150,000 cash, he or she can exercise the option and purchase the property at that price at any time during the one-year period. The buyer has the option, but is under no obligation to purchase. However, the seller must sell under an option if the buyer chooses to buy. The contract is said to be a unilateral contract because only one party, the seller, has made a promise. Only one party, the seller, is obligated to perform. A unilateral contract is said to lack mutuality. Reasonable time versus time is of the essence. Contracts contain many dates by which the parties must perform. A contract may stipulate that a seller will provide property owners association information to the buyer by a certain date. A seller may need to provide a seller's disclosure notice within a certain number of days, and a buyer may need to perform inspections or obtain credit approval by a certain date. All contracts have a date on which the parties intend to close. The closing date usually stipulates that closing will be on or before the date entered in the contract. Absent language to the contrary, failure to meet these dates does not amount to a material breach of the contract. With all of these dates, the parties have a reasonable amount of time to perform. If a party fails to meet a required date, the contract is still valid and enforceable if the party has been making a reasonable effort to perform. In some cases, performance by a specific date is vitally important. For example, the date by which a buyer must obtain credit approval may be of great concern to the seller. If a buyer has the option to purchase a parcel of land, the date upon which the option expires is likewise of great importance. For the important milestones in a contract that the parties must perform on time, the language "time is of the essence" is often inserted into the relevant provision of the contract. The phrase "time is of the essence" means that the time for performance will be literally interpreted and that performance must be completed by the day stipulated. For example, a buyer may have 30 days to obtain credit approval. When obtaining credit approval, time is of the essence, and the number of days allowed will be strictly interpreted. The strict time requirement for obtaining credit approval does not affect the other provisions of the contract, and the parties will have a reasonable amount of time to perform. In the past, license holders erroneously inserted the words "time is of the essence" into a contract. This practice made every date one that must be strictly interpreted, with a failure to perform amounting to a material breach of the contract. Because the words "time is of the essence" change the legal effect of a contract, license holders who add this language may be engaging in the unlawful practice of law. Amendments and addenda. Amendments. As a transaction progresses, amendments to the original contract may be needed. Common amendments include changes to the closing date, changes to the sales price, down payment, and/or amount financed, repairs that the seller agrees to perform, removal or waiver of contingencies. The closing date specified in a contract is usually an on or before date. If the closing needs to be extended, an amendment should be completed. An extension of the closing date is often required when the property needs repairs or when the lender requires additional time for closing. Changes to the sales price, down payment, or amount financed may be agreed to by the parties for any reason. The most common reason for this type of amendment is an appraisal that came in below the sales price. This is particularly important when the buyer is making a minimal down payment and needs a maximum loan-to-value ratio. The buyer will typically have inspections done during the contract period and may negotiate repairs with the seller. If the seller agrees to do repairs or agrees to a financial adjustment for needed repairs, an amendment to the contract will be needed. Contingencies may be waived at any time. Examples include the waiver of sale of other property contingencies, option periods, and any other conditions a party wishes to waive. Addenda. An addendum to a contract is an attachment that adds or further describes the rights and duties of the parties. A contract may be subject to the buyer obtaining acceptable financing. A financing addendum may be added that specifies the type of loan being obtained, the term, the rate of interest, origination fees, and other costs. Other addenda may give the buyer the authority to conduct additional inspections, including environmental, hazardous wastes, or endangered species research. Unsatisfactory results from the testing or research may be grounds for termination of the contract. Sometimes a provision in an addendum contradicts a provision in the main body of the contract. In such a case, the provision in the addendum prevails. For example, some contract forms state that the seller will provide the buyer with a general warranty deed at closing. An attached addendum may provide that the seller will provide the buyer with a special warranty deed at closing. In such a case, the seller will provide the special warranty deed because the addendum requires one.